B-Pod Studios.
They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
That Phil Collins wished Philip Bailey a happy birthday yesterday.
It's Philip Bailey. Like no other.
She's the kind of girl you dream of. He's the other guy in the song.
So he's this guy. He was in this Genesis. Guy.
Nope. Not even close.
Jim, do you know who Philip Bailey was?
You know what's amazing?
Yeah, he was in.
He was the lead singer of Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Oh, I love Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Yeah. Well, Philip Bailey is the guy in Earth, Wind, and Fire. He's also the guy in this song. The guy from Earth, Wind, and Fire did this song.
Hey, happy birthday, lead singer of Earth, Wind, and Fire.
No, his name was Philip Bailey. He had a name.
Like, bam, that would resonate.
He had a name. God forbid you take any time to know anybody's name.
I like the band. I like
his birthday was yesterday. We play
happy
song.
Birthday.
We play this song every week.
I love the song.
Starting to fill with the weather, man.
You care about the lyrics of songs?
What?
You said you don't care about the artist or anything. Do you care about the lyrics?
I don't care about the names of the band. Like, give me the name. Hootie and the Blowfish. It took me forever to know he was Darius Rucker. I care less. I knew he was Hootie.
Because you like the beat or you like the lyrics?
I like the band. I like the sound of the band. What are you talking about? Like the beat.
All right, you like the sound. Just...
Yeah, the song gets me going.
Did you say how old he was today, Beetle?
It was yesterday.
Beetle Bailey.
I didn't Philip catch Bailey. His age.
Oh, that's right. 68.
68.
Ooh, Jesus.
I like Phil Collins is no spring chicken.
Phil Collins has got to be up there, right? Is he 70 yet?
Who sounds
also 68?
Whose voice? I mean, you're big into this too. Like the voice. Whose voice held better, Phil Collins or Van Morrison's? Like through the years, because you've seen them both. Like a lot.
Van Morrison. Van Morrison's older and still sounds very much intact.
And you were disappointed in Hall & Oates, where Jim thought they were awesome, right?
No, they sounded good, but they mailed it in.
They mailed it in.
They mailed it in. Not worse than that. Mailed it in.
Like Kyrie last night.
Yes, the Hall & Oates show. Was like the Celtics last night. No effort. No effort. Except Hall & Oates.
Tyree Hall and Hayward's Oates.
Except Hall & Oates can go out and give very little effort and still sound good.
Yeah.
You know? It was like, I would say the Hall & Oates show was like the Celtics in the first round.
Probably had
not a lot of effort. Still can go out and beat the Pacers. No problem.
Probably had some good button pushers, guys that knew how to adjust the sound. Good people around them to help carry them a little bit when maybe it's not their greatest day. Yeah. I got it now.
You know, could still send the fans home happy, but didn't really have to put a lot into it.
Yeah.
It's the Celtics in the first round, is what I would say. Hmm. Yes. But that doesn't mean Phil Collins was bad. He wasn't bad.
All right.
He's just having a tougher time. Phil Collins can't even stand up on stage anymore. Poor guy has to sit down. He's had so many health issues.
How's he doing for a diaphragm? He's seeing.
Yep. He sits on like a high top chair. So okay, he sort so of he sits like, yeah, he's sort of like leaning off of a high top chair. He's sort of leaning on a stool. Yeah. 617-779-0985. It's a new time hour here on Zolak and Bertrand. We've been dissecting everything that went down really after the Celtics game last night, because what is there to say about what went on during the Celtics game last night? Oh, they folded.
Are you waiting for the run, though?
They fell apart.
There was a time when I think they wasn't.
By the time the second quarter came around, I'm like, oh, this is over.
Kyrie, I thought, hit two.
They're not even going to put up a fight.
Kyrie hit two consecutive ones. I think they were starting to say, oh, here he goes. He's heating up. They miss one. And I thought, okay, they got it down to nine. Here we go. You know, and then just it never came to be. Never came to be after that.
It's Let's go to Eddie in Dorchester on Kyrie Irving. Hi, Eddie.
Hey, what's up, Zoe? What's up, Beto?
What's up, Ed?
Honestly, last night's game was so depressing that me and the boys had to go to Centerfold and blow a grand. Like, that was literally the most, like, nice. Lack of effort I've ever seen in our life. Like, those girls, I had a better chance bagging a stripper than Kyrie hitting a shot last night. Like, it was despicable. I don't care if Kyrie walks. He's not a leader of men. Like, Perk put it best.
What are you going to do? What are you going to do if he walks?
And you both came up short.
What's your answer?
That's how the night went. You both came up short. Nobody has an answer other than,
well, think about how you feel
oh,
now.
Look, they went to the Eastern Conference Finals last year without him. They'll do it again without him.
Think about how you feel now. I feel terrible. I lost $1,000 a strip joint. I don't care if Kyrie walks. Okay, what's your answer?
They don't have one.
I love this. Yo, Kyrie. So Danny,
build with Marcus Smart.
Danny pulled this off.
You can't possibly get to the second round. You can't possibly get to the second round with this roster minus Kyrie.
Yeah, but that's still not a step forward, though.
Is that a fun year for you?
No one has the next step forward. I want to go forward. They went to the Eastern Conference Finals 2 years in a row. Now they didn't even get back to that. I get it. How do you get to the next step?
I'd rather get to the next step without a bunch of a-holes on the team so I can enjoy watching.
Oh, here we go again. The enjoy watching popcorn thing. I just want to get to the next step.
I should just be miserable with my teams.
I just want to get to the next step, period.
And you're to the point now as an NBA team where you could build a team to where, you know what, it matters when the playoffs start. Like, that's a cool thing. That means your team's good.
I heard that last night on the state television there. The station we're on, NBC Sports Boston. Got to get the soul of the Celtics back. You know what the soul of the Celtics is? Winning. That's the soul of the Celtics is. Winning championships. Yeah. Putting up banner after banner. That's what the soul of the Celtics is. Winning.
But what if
I know they're not
like
doing
that
right now.
Them,
but you know how they did that? With superstars. You think Kevin McHale and Larry Bird were best friends? You think those guys were going out for dinner after the games?
Was the big they played well on the floor together. That's what matters.
Exactly.
Was the big ticket? Was he a small ticket?
But this
he got
is the
here?
Thing.
No,
you don't have to have a group of guys that all like each other.
Okay,
you don't. You have to have a group of guys.
I don't care about them liking each other. I like Kevin McHale and I like Larry Bird. I don't like Kyrie.
Okay, but the reason why you don't like this team though is because they don't like each other.
I don't like the team. Yeah. I don't like Kyrie.
You would like Kyrie,
but you like Terry Rozier. You like Terry Rozier, and you like him last night. You find him to be a likable kid?
I don't mind him. I don't mind a player.
That to me is freaking utterly outrageous to hear the things that he said last night, and you look at that guy and say, oh, I like him, but I don't like Kyrie.
Jim, there's no way you can sit there and say that. You like Rozier.
What did Rozier say about himself?
That he put up with too much pull, you know what?
Yes. Yep.
Self-consumed.
The backup put up too much.
Did he tell about how great he is?
Off the charts.
His boys in his crib helped
off
him get through
charts.
It.
Did he say how great I am? Did he talk about that?
Well, that's what that is. Like, I'm better than what they think I am.
He's pissed off. I'd rather have somebody pissed off than say who cares.
I can't even believe we're having this discussion over Terry Rozier.
Terry Rozier's likable. And Kyrie Irving is not.
It's Terry scary. Terry scary.
Scary Terry. Oh, boo.
So what if both of them leave and they bring in your guy, Kemba Walker, like you talked about?
That's actually a lot more complicated than I thought it was going
to
be, by the way. Bringing
it'll
in
have
Kemba
to be a sign-and-trade or three-way sign-and-trade, some kind of deal.
How did Kemba Walker become my guy, by the way?
No, you're the guy. He's the guy you mentioned the other day.
No, a caller mentioned it, and I said you're going to hear more of that name. I don't even know that I'm in favor of that.
Scary Terry.
Team Kyrie in full force again today.
Boo!
You get your Uncle Drew's t-shirt, Zoe?
Great cornholio.
I see TP for bungle.
What's this obsession with having to like players all of a sudden? How many guys that you root
like
for on a team-by-team, game-by-game, year-by-year basis are quote-unquote likable? It's like you can't even know these guys, you know, for the most part. So now you got to like them like on a personal level. Part of the deal.
There's a sit down with Gold State.
No. Stop the personal stuff. I don't like watching Kyrie throw up contested shot after contested shot over and over again when there's an easier play.
He'd rather watch Terry Rozier throw that ball.
I'd rather watch Terry Rozier take an open
lane.
Shot as opposed to
almost
Kyrie try to shoot over three guys. Yes, I would.
The problem is it works for him for most of the season. and then in the playoffs, when teams playing defense.
The problem is that Jim wants to grade Kyrie Irving based on the last four games and not the last season.
That is part of the problem.
That's part of the problem here. Like, the entire season didn't happen, that it was only the last four
games. No, the entire season did happen.
He's so head and shoulders.
This team was not the same as last year. They weren't.
He was on the team for most of last year. Everyone talks about last year like Kyrie didn't play at all. He played for most of the year. He just wasn't there in the playoffs.
Remember
that
seed?
And they had this epic run. Great.
Remember that seed they had going into the playoffs? What seed were they a year ago? Mm. What seed were they, Jim? Mm. Were they?
And
were they the fourth or fifth seed going in last year?
No.
No, okay. Who got them to that seed? Was it the kids? No, it wasn't. It was Kyrie Irving.
So this is a one-man team all of a sudden.
No, it wasn't. Oh. No, not at all. I'm just saying that it wasn't like he wasn't there at all or didn't help them get to where they were going into those playoffs or give them some home court advantages going into those playoffs. It wasn't like he wasn't there. He did play on the team until he got hurt in April of last year. Thank you, Hardy. It's a good point. Very good point.
It's just everybody, last year. Kyrie was on the team. He was a part of that great team that got you to the good seating. It didn't work as well. Maybe more focus should be on Hayward and the fact that he was back and didn't perform to the point, and the guy who hasn't spoken at all.
Well, let's listen to his postgame again. Gordon Hayward, postgame last night. Ready? There it is.
No, that was the postgame. That was game four. I want to hear last night.
I'm sorry. This guy skates here.
Here's game five. Ready? There it is, Gordon Hayward.
He's talking today, though, because it's move out there.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. You what? I don't want to hear it. I could care less.
Does he have
what
to get home
today
to play his video games?
Yeah. You want to talk? You talk last night, or don't talk at all. They'll need you to get home and allow you to decompress for an entire day. Well, everybody else has got to sit there and face some music.
Action update. Give me something on the Bruins right now.
Punk.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
I don't think there are three words in sports that get more people excited about what is yet to come.
Zolak and Bertrand.
I think there's issues with testosterone.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
When you kind of look forward to this summer, just in general, what kind of things are you looking for, I guess, in your life? And what kind of things, kind of situations would be a positive situation that you want to be in?
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm just trying to make it back to Boston first, you know, safely. Get to see my family. Decompress, you know, do what human beings do.
I'm only human after all. I'm only human after all. Don't put your blame on me. Don't put your blame on me. Take a look in the mirror. What do you see? Do you see it clearer? Or are you deceived? And what you
believe? A lot of people would accuse Kyrie Irving of being delusional. I would find no quote from last night to be more delusional than the one from Terry Rozier to Yahoo Sports. I don't give a bleep what nobody say. I sacrificed the most out of anybody. Yeah, you sure did. Really did.
The door hit you in the ass.
Goodbye.
That's an easy one.
Terry Rozier very upset last night after the game. 617-779-0985, the telephone number. Mixing in your calls on both Celtics' reaction to them being booted from the playoffs by the Milwaukee Bucks. A gentleman's sweep by the Milwaukee Bucks. Haven't heard from Paul Pierce yet on this. Haven't heard his reaction. Yikes.
He called it. You said it would be over. Five games was the limit, you said, for him, right?
Yeah.
He called it.
Exactly. It was the wrong way. Wrong way. He even said before game two, I don't know if you guys heard this, but after, I think it was before game two, and they said, are you sticking with this? And he said, or maybe even before game three, he said, it's going to be a gentleman's sweep. He said, yes. Yeah, it was after game two, before game three. He said, yeah, don't worry. It's going to be a gentleman's sweep. We're going to get him in five.
Celtics, they won all of the noon starts, noon locally starts. Could it have been possible that Bucks were just a little bit tired in that game? Noon start. Seriously. Noon start. Yes. That's the only game they won.
Yes. Could have been.
Noon local.
Boston's good city.
Could have been it. That may have been the reason why.
Late dinners.
Ken in North Attleboro. Ken.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey.
I don't understand what you're talking about with the next step. Other than LeBron James being in the last dozen or whatever finals, you don't need that person to win. It's just crazy you think you can't move forward with the guys you have. I really find it astounding. I got to go.
You find it astounding what? You hung up.
He's done.
What a terrible take that was.
He's saying you don't need a star to win other than the last 12 finals.
Oh, so he's joking.
I don't think he was joking. It was funny, though. He said, take LeBron out. You don't need the star to win.
So he meant that as a serious point and then disproved his own point?
Yeah.
So it's even more of a failure because
go
LeBron
back more than 12 years.
You know what? So the fact you've actually taken LeBron out makes your situation that much more worse.
The one team without the star was the 04 Pistons. Right? That's the exception to the rule in modern times?
Yeah. Dirk
was on the Mavs.
Okay, I'm not going to spend any more time thinking about this because it's a stupid take. Thank you. Doug in Middleboro. Doug?
Yeah, hi. How's it going, guys?
Hi, Doug.
Okay, yeah, I just got one question I want to pose, and you guys were kind of touching on it earlier, but does anyone come out of this series or season likable on the Celtics?
No.
I believe there's one person, and it's pretty much one of the only people that spoke last night, and that was Brad Stevens.
Oh, you're including
Al Horford, Marcus Morris? I mean...
Well, I'm just saying after the series last night, is anyone likable still?
We're two hours and 28 minutes into the show, and we have not hammered Gordon Hayward enough.
I'm just saying this, though. Did anyone live up to their expectations? Anybody? So I include that sort of in the likable category. Like, yeah, Brad Stevens is still an easy guy to like, but he even said it himself. He did a bad job. He didn't do enough.
Even Rajon Rondo on his worst day.
Nobody did enough.
If he wanted to take a shower, would face the music and sit there and make reporters wait. But at least he would talk at the end of the night. When the hell's Gordon Hayward been excused from talking?
And we're talking
all of a sudden.
Just based on like what they say and how they act, and not based on whether or not they did enough or how they performed. Yeah. Marcus Morris looks good right now.
Look at the way
he handled himself this week.
You see what he said?
Yeah, I saw what he said.
I love Boston. I love the tradition. I love playing here on this stage. I hope I continue to play here. I'll take that guy. I go to war with that guy. I go to war with Jaylen Brown.
I mean, at least
Jaylen Brown plays his ass off, whether you like him or not. And I know he said some stupid stuff. But again, to what Steven said, it's a 20 and 22-year-old kid he's dealing with Tatum and him. They're still learning. I think Jaylen Brown will not open his mouth this year in the offseason the way he did last year. That dude will try and dunk on your ass, and I appreciate that. I'll take him. Take him, too. I'll take Al Horford back on a discount. If he wants to do a long-term, opt out, go down a little bit. Sure, I'm interested in that. I know what Baines can do. Yeah. So are you getting Anthony Davis? Are you getting rid of Smart? Are you getting rid of Tatum? To get Anthony Davis and keep Kyrie? Yeah. That's your option.
Scott's in Weymouth. Go ahead, Scott.
What's up, guys? Hey. NHL playoffs, guys. You ready for round three?
Yes.
Here we go. Really quick comment on the Celtics. They have zero chemistry. That's their problem. Where the Bruins have 100% chemistry. It's that simple. They got nothing. They were out and they should be out. Now, going back to your point earlier about why the Garden isn't as loud as it used to be, it's all corporate now. It's over-commercialized. They're too busy throwing T-shirts in the crowd, playing loud music.
That's not. I've sat in a loge. There's a bunch of townies down there.
Well, you know what?
They got a beer in each hand and they're hammered.
Hey, Zolak.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to the – I forget what year you played here for the Patriots. Have you ever been to the old Garden?
1943.
Come on, brother. We both know that's not – do you remember the old Garden?
I do.
There's nothing like that anymore. I'll never forget
that smell, Scott.
Mm. It was the best. I'm challenging everyone that's going to the game tonight.
Yep.
If there's a Carolina Hurricane who does something dirty, will someone throw a beer at him and get thrown out of the game?
No.
And Bob, one more question, Bertrand.
What?
When is the last time there was a fight on the Bruins? I haven't seen a fight. Literally, think about
Troy
it.
Troy Krug last week.
Fight you saw?
On the ice?
Yeah, on the ice.
I mean, we nearly had a couple last series, but that's not part of the
Bruins. Nearly.
It's not a part of the game anymore. It's been taken out of the game.
Where? Illustrating my point.
Beat someone's head in.
Where else have you seen that in these playoffs?
Yeah.
Wait, you were illustrating his point. Yeah. I don't know what the point was.
There are no fights. Yeah, no kidding. There's no fights in the game
anymore.
Throw
some at another player.
There's less fighting in the NHL than ever before in the history of the sport.
Yeah, get ejected with your $400 ticket. Yeah.
Thank you. You proved my point.
Boom.
Your point is what?
Boom.
What's your point?
And since when do you really, really call for and want fights in the playoffs? Regular season.
Yeah, especially if Marchand does it too, so he could have a history and get suspended.
Well, Marchand isn't the one that's going to fight anyway, but anybody. It's like, unless you're down, down in a game and down in a series and you're trying to ignite something, but it's not something that you would even expect, much less want.
By the way, the new building's been open for 23 years now. Please.
It was always better back then. You know this.
Well,
Hold on. That's the mantra for Boston. It was always better before. And if you go back to that time, if you could transport, you know, take a Rob Gronkowski time machine and go to Florida and then go back in time and ask him, what do you think of things right now? They'll tell you it was better back before then, too. It's always better before. It's always better before. What it is right now is better before. At any point in history. It's always better at some time previous to this.
Yeah, Walt Disney said, keep moving forward.
Yeah.
You see Meet the Robinsons? Keep moving forward.
Go find that guy 23 years ago or 25 years ago at the Old Guard and say, how is
this place a dump?
It's better in the 70s.
Exactly.
I like the Old Guard when they only had three items in concessions. Those were fun days.
Popcorn.
Yeah. Hot dog. Nachos.
Did they have nachos?
Nachos and a corn.
Oh, that would be hot dog, pretzel.
What do you think of Fenway Park now?
Sucks.
What'd you think of it 20 years ago?
Oh, sucked then. Worse.
Right.
If I'm being honest.
Right.
No, but we do romanticize about it. Oh, remember when they were troughs? Every time I go to Fenway, you're in the bathroom. Oh, it used to be fun when they were troughs.
Yeah, across the
street. Fenway's individual urinals.
Awesome as a 7-year-old.
Yeah. Yeah, stand here and see everyone's hog. It's the best. You know, I love the urinals that are like down to the floor. So you
not only that, you mentioned like when we were 7 years old, Jim, there were like three bathrooms, it felt, in the whole park. Now there's like, you know, 20 of them, it feels. Every turn around, there's a bathroom everywhere now. They've got like four times the amount of bathrooms that there used to be there.
Yeah, too many bathrooms. It affects the water pressure everywhere.
You'd go to the bathroom in Fenway 25, 30 years ago, and you'd be gone for three innings. You'd miss three innings waiting in line to go to the bathroom then. Now you can actually go to the bathroom and get back by the next
inning.
They
got to ask backwards, like up in the club, like the little club. They only got like one little tiny bathroom. They don't have enough bathrooms in there. For the people to pay.
What club? Know? What club are you talking about?
A nice
about?
Little club that, whatever, that club. The fancy schmancy thing. Lower level. The, I don't know the name of it. The one where we went last year.
No, I didn't know. I've never been to Fenway with you.
Oh, okay. That was Fred and Rich.
Jesus. 617-779-0985. Oh, that sounds horrible. Sounds terrible. I got another Bruins thought. Why don't we get to another Bruins thought? Noontime hour Bruins thought. Dougie Hamilton back to Boston tonight. That's after Hardy's headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Without Zolak and Bertrand, your workday is just pushing papers and eating lunch.
What's up?
With Zolak and Bertrand, it's pushing papers, eating lunch, and talking sports.
Yeah, whatever.
Way better. Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey.
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 Teach me how to plug it. Hey.
Thunder.
What?
And the lightning.
Teach me how to dug it.
And the thunder.
You know why?
And the lightning.
All the girls love me. All I need is a beat that's super bumping. And for you, you
up.
Back it up.
Up.
Put your arms out front, lean side to side. They gonna be on you when they see you hit that Dougie ride. Ain't nobody fitting with my.
This lasted long, huh?
He go by Bubba.
The Dougie?
Not even a Dougie Hamilton time here. I'm just talking about the Dougie.
Dougie Hamilton now with the Carolina Hurricanes after getting traded to the Flames from the Bruins. The Flames then traded him last summer to the Hurricanes.
Is he still Dougie or is he Doug?
No,
call me Douglas.
He's still Dougie. Dougie Hamilton. You may remember the Bruins drafted him 9th overall back in 2011.
The chosen one. I remember his little starter. You remember his little Letterman's jacket? Didn't he have a Letterman's jacket with the shiny sleeves and all that, the big letter on his chest? Like, oh, the Savior's here. The next Chara. Mm-mm. Nope. Nope, nope, nope. It was like Dougie Soft. Let's do a new dance called the Dougie Soft. It's another part of this series, right? Take a run at this guy.
It is, because he is he has been accused of being a soft player. He was accused of being a soft player just a couple of series ago against the Washington Capitals. He also had some comments recently about not knowing why he was traded from the Bruins, which is ridiculous, which is absolutely absurd.
Yeah, you could sit here and you could bitch about Sagan and you can get the most for that, and that guy's a pretty elite player. Like that, how many people complained when they lost Dougie?
He turned down, according to reports, multiple contract extension offers from the Bruins. And then forced them into a trade. That's why he got traded. Yeah, I'm knowing, like, oh, I don't know. That's how the business goes. That was his answer this week. Douglas Hamilton, that is. Weird guy. Ended up getting traded. And then got traded again. Which tells you whatever was going on in Calgary, which gave up a first-round pick and a couple of second-round picks to the Bruins.
Yeah.
They didn't end up falling in love with him either.
Wasn't there stories like with his parents were like hands on too?
Yeah, the parents were always
calling the team.
We'll say they were always around. They were very present.
For Dougie.
Yes. Mm. Yeah. I mean, young player.
I need that, right?
But the parents were rather involved. But let's just get to this. Were the Bruins wrong to trade him?
No.
Now that we've got some We've got some hindsight
and the
ability to have that hindsight 2020.
They want to be here. I don't want people to want to be here. No.
You know, were they wrong? Should they have offered more? Should they have tried harder to get a deal done?
Well, I mean,
in hindsight, I don't think they look bad for trading Dougie Hamilton.
They don't look bad, but your automatic answer of, you don't want to be here, get him up.
You can evaluate what you got in return and keep score now. That's different.
Part of your job.
No, I'm talking simply, there are a lot of people that thought he was going to be the next Chara. He was going to be what we believe McAvoy is now and is already becoming.
Norris.
That the role that McAvoy is becoming, your top defenseman.
Your defenseman of the future, Dougie Hamilton.
This is Dougie Hamilton, and this is Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Arr.
That guy. Do you think he was going to become even what McAvoy is now? Would you take McAvoy or would you take Dougie Hamilton?
I'd take McAvoy.
So would I. Man, I love McAvoy.
He can't even make a bear noise.
I don't think McAvoy loves Zoe, but that's another story.
McAvoy, he's fine.
The notion that...
I could break his balls. Huh?
You just get rid of a guy who doesn't want to be here?
Oh, he doesn't?
I don't know. I don't know if he loved you that day.
Wow.
Huh. I think he walked off that interview a little upset with you that day.
You think?
Yeah, I think
Seriously?
So. I think so.
Oh, I talked to him before and after. Wow.
It's definitely uncomfortable.
Yeah, I think it was uncomfortable. A little bit.
Right at the lateness, the tardiness, and all that stuff.
Yeah. Oh, what do you mean? Do I just sit there and kiss
good his interview,
ass?
Though. It was a good interview. It was
he
good
gave
interview.
It back. I gave it to him.
It's a good interview, though.
Yeah.
I appreciated his time.
Such a watch. Oh, you're a little late here. Like you were.
But I'll just say this, without having to get into what the draft picks became, which I don't think is much at this point.
I didn't get that. You thought it was uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah.
I won't remember.
Just looking at his face, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think he's got the pudgy face. I don't think he enjoyed it. But they don't look wrong. They didn't make a mistake in trading him away. And I don't think they really turned that return into anything, did they? Well, look it up.
Zach Sinishin?
He hasn't turned it into anything. Who are the other picks?
His name. That's good.
That was the first rounder.
They turned it into nothing. They didn't turn it into anything. And I'm just saying, I don't even want to grade them on that. Just on, were they wrong to let him walk, to sort of let him go in a trade? And I don't think they were. They weren't wrong to let him, go in a trade. They didn't end up being wrong. They looked at it and said, yeah, this guy's a good player, but not as good as, what some people may think he is, or going to be our top defenseman or the guy of the future or any of that. And they were able to draft Charlie McAvoy later. And
they got JFK for him too. And Lauzon, Jeremy Lauzon,
Nothing. And JFK, my God, we've heard so much about that kid over the years. Again, no value at the top level yet.
Never made that turn. I don't know if he ever will.
How many times do we hear his name from the, what'd you just say? The Daily Plaza? Did you just drop a make a turn at Daily Plaza reference? You did. Daily Plaza?
It went right over your head.
No, I heard it and I just keep going with you because I can't now stop and talk about a JFK assassination.
I got to slide in.
Yeah. And the grassy knoll.
Hello there, David T. Gosher here.
Now we're going to talk about the grassy knoll.
Senator.
And was there someone behind the fence at the top of the grassy knoll? Yeah, second shooter, of course.
No way he pulled that off.
Right, magic bullet theory. Back and to the left. Back and to the left.
That sounds like a bad puppy.
Back and to the left.
Hey, Dougie, make a puppy.
Now we're going to do this now. See what we're doing now? You see what we're doing now, Hardy? You see the road we go down because of that? I was just going to let it go.
Not my fault.
How many times did Jaffe tell us that Jacob Forsbacka Carlson? What time is Jaffe going to join us today? 1:20? We'll talk to him about that then.
Right.
Perfect guy to ask about that.
Tweet that out to
What happened
Jim,
all these draft picks? What happened all these draft picks that they got in exchange for Dougie Hamilton? That's the guy we got to ask. Billy Jaffe will join us at 1:20. We'll ask him.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Jaffe at 1:20. Gordon Hayward has spoken. He has broken his silence. We'll hear the sound of him coming up at the top of the hour just minutes from now.
We're going to do it because it's our job to listen to what he has to say, but I really don't want to hear him from him. You can't talk last night, don't talk today. Everybody else had to face the music in the heat of the moment. Whether or not they're getting ripped or not, they stood there and talked.
Not him. He's underpaid. He doesn't make enough to do that.
Are you going to be a bitch now? All of a sudden, last 2 weeks? Not going to talk. He didn't talk last game either.
All of a sudden, he's excused.
Welcome to Boston, bro.
Alan's in California. Alan.
How's it going, guys?
Hey, what's up? Thanks for hanging on.
Ex-FBI agent Don Adams gave the greatest JFK assassination interview in history on Black Hawk Radio.
Black Hawk Down?
Look for his interview on Black Hawk Radio. Black Hawk Radio. Okay, real quick about the Celtics.
What's it called? Black Op Radio?
Yeah, there's an interview with Don Adams. It's about an hour and 50 minutes. He was there. He was in on the investigation before the assassination happened because he was chasing an assassin that was after Kennedy in Georgia by the name of I can't think of his name. His name escapes me. But this guy was after Kennedy. He was part of an assassination team in Florida trying to get Kennedy either in Miami or in Tampa. They were going to try to kill Kennedy with a high-powered rifle from an office building in Tampa. And the guy's name was Joseph Miltier. And they got and undercover agents from the Miami police got Miltier on tape talking about the assassination was going to go down within the next 20 or 30 days. And then Miltier was followed by Don Adams into Georgia. Don Adams then tried to follow him to Dallas, and they caught Milt here in Dallas, and basically Kennedy was killed, and they had it all. They had Milt here on several, you know, surveillance and wiretaps saying, yep, we got him. We got him. Told you he was going to get killed with a high powered rifle. And, you know, that then they went after Milt here, and then the FBI covered it all up. And that's what Don Adams talks about in that interview. He gets into real specifics. And he basically says there were between 7 and 11 shots fired in Dealey Plaza. And he's seen all the intelligence data on that from the Dallas field office, because he was sent to the Dallas field office after he did his Joseph Miltier report. The Joseph Miltier report was totally covered up. It was suppressed for, you know, 20 or 30 years. It came out during the House assassinations study back in the 70s. So the whole thing was a plot. It was a big plot, and they were following Kennedy around. The first plot was going to be in Chicago. That one was foiled.
Hardy asked for a tidbit. Now you're giving us the whole thing. We're going to listen to this. Yeah. Okay. All right. Celtics, go ahead.
Okay. They're not going to win with Kyrie ever. Okay, so that's that. Everyone and everything has been diminished.
Who told you that? Some guy from Georgia?
Jim Louth.
Everything and everyone has been diminished under Brad Stevens, and that's a problem. All this talent that we saw last year has been diminished. They got no fight, no rotation, not enough star minutes from last year's stars. That doesn't bode well for the future, and that doesn't bode well for Brad Stevens. Have a good one, guys.
Okay, right. Alan. Appreciate it. You know what I worry about for Brad Stevens? I worry about Brad Stevens getting worn down by all of this.
Not having answers.
Yeah, this can wear on you. If you have to do this for another season, if it doesn't work out for another season, this can wear on you.
What do you think? He just stands with his arms crossed and just stares? No, this guy puts in time. Like, he crunches.
Yeah.
It's constant grind, man.
Joseph Miltier, Miami Prophet. You get all that? Get all that, Hardy?
I did 5 hours on this stuff.
You know,
fascinates me.
You talk about any conspiracy theory.
I love it.
Somewhat hurried and serious tones. You can add credibility to any argument. That guy could have said, Kyrie Irving will never, this team will never win with Kyrie Irving. James Louth III, who is a producer on the Celtics flagship radio station in Boston, said, the day after they were eliminated from the playoffs in 2019, that this team is better off without Kyrie Irving. Now, you take his assessment, you take it, it's like, oh, that sounds awfully official.
Plus his son, Jimmy.
Right?
Yep, double down on it.
They would never win here without Kyrie. I'm not accepting that as fact. You accepting that as fact?
No, I'm not accepting that. What do you think, I'm foolish?
He's only the best player you have by far. Head and shoulders better than anyone else on the team.
You can say that about anybody on the team. They're never going to win with Tatum.
Well, why?
Because he's never won. How do you know?
I'm just glad we were even able to attempt to try and win it with Kyrie, with Terry Rozier sacrificing so much.
You
know
what
I mean? Was it nice for Rozier to sacrifice everything, though, for Kyrie? I do appreciate that, just that we get an answer on Kyrie.
Apparently, we're getting tweets. Jim is telling me in my ear we're getting tweets asking where Brad Friedel is. Appreciate that. I appreciate people wanting to know where he is. They canceled on us today.
He's been a scratch today.
Due to some travel stuff that they got going on.
They lost what? 5-0 and 6-0? Last two?
I don't know if that factored in. We were told it was travel. But that was at the Revs' discretion today. That was their choice. We did not cancel him. He canceled us.
We're on every day. I mean,
we're here. We're here.
We don't go anywhere.
You know where to find us.
Our schedule doesn't change.
So that was not our choice. That was theirs. So for those of you who are asking, I would not expect those tweets, but okay. Jim tells me, hey, you got to answer this because we're getting a few.
Yeah, I mean, we got a few. Somebody says, oh, it's probably travel related, although they did have in the interview after last Wednesday's game. So,
well, there you go. There's your answer. Hardy, I went to Dealey Plaza on the anniversary of the assassination 1 year.
It's a little weird.
I just happened to be there for something else.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, 2002.
I went a couple years ago and we played in Dallas.
And it was on the date, November 22nd, and a lot of people that were there the day it happened come back on that date every year.
The pilgrimage.
And all tell their stories.
Yep.
All tell their stories, and there are people there that were standing on the grassy knoll that come back. There were people handing out packets of paper that they would sign their name to saying, yeah, this is my story. I was here that day, and what they're telling you happened here that day didn't go down the way they say it did. Here's my version of events. Yes. That goes on. I mean, it was 2002. Yeah. That's 17 years ago. Yeah. But that goes on there.
I was
people saying that it didn't go down the way they tell you it went down.
I was in an Uber driver. We were coming back from dinner, going back to the team hotel. And I remember seeing a sign out the window, Dealey Plaza. And I'm like, whoa, wait a minute.
Whoa, yeah, stop. Like, yeah.
I said, ride's over. Let us out. So we got out. He said, yeah, there's an X on where it happened over there.
Street, yeah.
And when you're conditioned as a kid, you watch all these documentaries, you think, okay, they're making a wide turn. Just everything looks so big. And you stand there, and it's small. It's tight, that turn, going down under the overpass. And there's the building right there. And there's the light stays on. It's creepy. I'm like, okay, maybe he could have made that shot from there. Because in film and on TV.
Marksman, Scott Zola.
No, I mean, film and TV.
Well, like, I get up there, I look in the scope. I think, yeah, you know, it can make it.
And then, okay, you just come up over the turn. Yeah, okay.
All right. You can see it.
Yep. And there's stuff that's built up where the fence was, though. And it's not the same, but it's small. It's a small area. It's not as, you know, it seems so huge on TV. And then you go there and you stand there and you're like, wow, it's surreal. And you see the X where it happened. Concrete. I'm like, wow. Like, I don't want to go back to the hotel. I just want to stand here.
How long did you stand there?
History. 5 minutes. Call another Uber, Bob. Bob, get another Uber.
Bob, give me another Uber.
I'm ready to go.
Gordon Hayward spoke this morning in Boston.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.